Hey guys, it's your favorite sisters with the Confessions of a Reluctant Caregiver show on UK Health Radio. On the show, you'll hear caregivers confessing the good, the bad, and the completely unexpected. You're guaranteed to relate, be inspired, leave with helpful tips and resources, and of course, laugh. Now, let's get to today's confession. Good morning, Miss JJ. How are you doing?
Good morning, Natalie. I'm wonderful. What song are you going to sing for me today?
Oh, no.
Our guest actually said, oh, no.
I didn't even prompt him to say, oh, no. So y'all know how I feel about Natalie singing. But
well, I think we all know my favorite song, which is good morning. Good morning. It's great to see you, JJ. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Thank you.
Well, good.
I know. Every morning she gives me that, Will. So we do have a guest. I'm so excited.
I'm beyond excited about Will joining us. So Jay, you've got to tell our guest about our guest confessor today.
Your volume is low.
Oh, Natalie, you got to fix your volume. You'll have to lean back in.
For me, yeah.
Okay.
I got ears, remember.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That is right. Jay, tell us about Will.
Okay. So today we're talking with Will DeRocher. Now, Will, how'd I do on that last name? Pretty good?
That's right.
Okay.
Correct, because a lot of people have trouble with that.
I know. I was a little worried. So we met him through the caregiving stories told by his stepson, George. And once we heard those stories, we had to get George on. So Will married George's mom in 2010, but only a few years later into the marriage, she started her road through dementia. Now, as a primary caregiver, he was always talking to people, trying to learn what to do, what people were going through, reading what he could to improve the circumstances, because there is absolutely no manual on caregivers. So, Will, we are so happy to have you here today with us. So, Will, we know that you met Teresa a little later in life, but we want to hear a little bit about that story, like how you met. We like love stories. So
we do.
Tell us how you met and, you know, a little bit about that backstory before caregiving.
Well, the church I was going to was Faith Baptist Church, and I was in the choir. And then we did our Christmas songs like we do every year. And George is a stepdaughter that lives with us. She was at that church, too. And that's how they got to that church for the music, the Christmas music. Most of the time, women today, they don't wear a hat in church anymore. And here was Teresa with a hat on her head. And I spotted that. But I really didn't pay much attention to it. And then when we were all done, everybody went home. And then I think it was a week later, there was a ballet at the Regent University, a Christmas ballet. And one of the girls that went to the church I was going to was in ballet with their daughter, Rachel. So I went to see Marquette, and they came to see Rachel. And then I spotted that hat again. I spotted that nice, beautiful woman with the hat again.
So
I'm sitting a few rows back. And when they had intermission, she came walking up and she looked at me and I looked at her and we said hello to each other. And then when the show was over, when the ballet was over, you know how everybody gathers up at the forum and watch and talk about the beautiful music and the dancing stuff. And then we got to talking. And almost wanted to go out and have coffee together. But George says, no, you better just come home with us and we'll, you know, get together later on. Yeah, he was guarding his mother.
Look at him guarding his mom.
I know.
We exchanged numbers and we started talking to each other. And finally, after about 6 months of talking and dating, I said, you know, we wanted to get married.
Okay, Will, How old were you guys? Because I'm dying to know.
This wasn't young love, Will. We're not saying that you're an older
this
gentleman.
This is second love. This is this is finding the second love of the second.
Well,
love.
So how old?
I will tell you. This is my third marriage.
Okay. That's okay. I've had two already.
And the marriages that before were my daughter's mother, and we only went to a justice of the peace to get married, and then the other marriage was my son's mother. And we, same thing, we went to a chapel at a casino up in Silver City, Nevada, and we got married that way. But this was different. This was, I was a born-again Christian, and so was Teresa. And the way we met in a church, I knew that God put us together. I knew that 100%. And I tell people all the time that, and this is the God's honest truth, I never loved anybody as much as I loved Teresa.
Oh, that's going to make me cry, Jay. I love that. I love love stories. Right. I'm a sucker for them.
I loved her as much as, almost as much as I loved the Lord. That's how much I loved her.
Wow.
I knew God put us together. I knew it.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, okay, so I have to ask, how old were you guys when you all met?
I think I was, you got to figure 13, maybe 13 years ago. So subtract 13 from 96. She was, her age was 96 when she passed. And so.
So you were in your 70s. I think Teresa was a little older than you, wasn't she?
I was in my 70s.
You were in your 70s.
Yeah.
And she was in her 80s.
Yeah.
Teresa was, I'm going to tell you people, we've got the photo that Will sent over. I mean, Teresa was a looker.
Oh boy.
And
beautiful.
She was a classy woman. She was an awesome woman. I mean, she just, I learned a lot about her after she passed, because I started going through all the cards and letters that she would get, I was getting from people all these years. And it was just amazing how she always had a smile on her face. She had a beautiful penmanship. She wrote a lot of letters, just like it reminded me of the old days before we had all this fancy cell phones and, you know, phones and all that, and wireless and stuff. And I learned a lot about her after she passed.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot about her during the time we were married too. And it was a blessing to it. And before I met her, this was another thing that was crossing my mind. Before I met her, for about 6 months before I met her, I had this idea going through my head that I wanted to do something like take care of somebody. And then she comes along.
That's the Lord's handiwork. He was getting you ready.
Well, you're not kidding. So that was the best. That was the best marriage a man could ever have. And and I learned a lot about caring for people, because the way I took care of her, and sometimes I didn't even realize what I was doing, but you know, it was all God's doing. It was beautiful. And then did George tell you that I have a hobby also?
No.
Well, what's your hobby? Well, what kind of hobby do you have?
I have an antique car that I work on.
That's kind of like caregiving too, Will.
There's a lot of love there.
That takes some patience, Will.
I wish you had that picture of his mother sitting in that car. It brings you way back. But anyway, it was so hard. I never had the experience of having somebody die in front of me. It was so difficult. And I still today am not glad she's gone, because it was such a big job. I'm not going to be like that. I'm never going to be that way. I was glad to be able to do it. It was hard in the end, but I knew all along that this was meant to be, you know. It all happened because of the Lord.
Yeah. So you all were married, but she, at the time, she was, you know, you guys were going about early marriage, but she didn't start really going through the dementia journey until a couple years after you all were married.
Yeah.
When did you start seeing those signs, or what?
What
kind of gave it away? Like, what did you say, you know, what's going on? Like, there's something different. What were those signs?
You know, you're right. I didn't really see it in the beginning, but when I went up there to visit her before we got married, I remember going to a IHOP's for breakfast in her car, and she was driving, and I thought that she was going through a red light almost, you know, and the intersection was so big that by the time you would get over to the other side to take a left-hand turn, that you'd be going through the red light. And I noticed that, you know, and mm-hmm. I thought, I didn't really think that much of it, but that's when I started thinking, you know, there's something wrong here. And mm-hmm. and then because she was kind of a easygoing, in a hurry type of person, you know, and didn't mm-hmm. want to wait. And then when we were together, we would drive somewhere and she would say, "What are you stopping for?" And I'm stopping at a stoplight, you know. Mm. And so it wasn't right at the beginning, yeah. but it started after a few years after we got married. We were married, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So you thought, Teresa, we need to go to the doctor. I think there's something going on. Like, is that how it kind of happened? And they said, yeah. this is what we think her diagnosis
yeah,
is.
Yeah. I just had to bring her to the doctors. And then they started telling me she was having headaches. Mm. And we took her in for that, and then they started figuring it out that she had dementia. Hmm. Yeah.
Were you and Teresa at the time living with your son-in-law?
No, we were living where I was living. I had a good setup where I was staying at, mm-hmm. and they had extended their house to make it bigger so we'd have a better bathroom. And I was managing this property for my ex-boss. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a nice setup there. I was making money scrap metaling. I was making money there and managing this property and operating heavy equipment and everything like that. It was kind of fun doing that kind of work. It was different than what I'm used to working doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we were living there. We were kind of having fun. We were close to the church I was going to. The stores were close by and everything. The doctor's office wasn't that far away. So we were doing pretty good there. But then it started getting worse. It started getting to where she would walk up the gravel road, and instead of staying over to the side when a truck was coming out of the parking lot to go out on the street to take off, she would be in the way.
Yeah.
And that wasn't good. I mean, that's when I started, you know, I started thinking, boy, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah. Mm.
And then it got to the point where every time a trucking company came, a new company came, they needed a room to make an office, and they would take rooms from the house, the first house I was living in. Then they started taking from the other house. And then finally, they gave me enough time, like a month and a half, to tell me that they needed the whole house. And that's how we had to finally move away. And I knew about, you know, living here with George and Patty. And my like ex-boss, his mechanics and everything, they even helped me move here.
Oh, wow. Aww, that's wonderful. Wow.
Yeah, because I could have never handled the refrigerator and things like that by myself. And so they really helped me a lot. And then my boss told me I could keep the key for the shop till the day I die. So, wow. You know, God was working with me all along for a long time. And so I live a lot of dreams. You know, I never thought I'd have a car again either. And then I started thinking, it's so hard to work on it anymore. It's getting more difficult to work on it and do things. And I'm used to working hard all my life, but it's really getting more difficult. I just told George, you know, we're going to have to move here and come on home.
Yeah. Well, you need a break, you know, George, you know, maybe you could get an assistant to help you with the car.
Exactly. Well, speaking of break, we're going to take a break just real quick and we'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad,
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back. Today we are talking with Will, and he is telling us a love story, but he's also telling us about the journey with his wife, Teresa. And we are at the point where Teresa's been diagnosed with dementia, Alzheimer's. And they've moved in with his stepson.
They decide to move in. So I'm going to tell you, George says you guys should move in with us. Now, was George and them helping you guys at all when you were living elsewhere? Were George and Patty helping out?
No, really. I had everything under control myself. I was doing okay. Gotcha. Plus, the Lord was there helping me, teaching me how to deal with this, maybe a little bit, and it wasn't really that hard. And then I was going to church and everything. And one of the things that happened there is that when she would go to the bathroom in the church, she would make a mess in there. And finally, a bunch of ladies got upset about it, and they told the pastor. And the pastor came to me and told me that, they had a place for seniors to go. They had a third bathroom. But there was a lot of seniors in the church. And when they were in there, she wouldn't wait. She didn't want to wait to go in there.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So finally, we had to stop going to church there.
Mm.
Yeah, that was one. Wow. That was one of the things that I had to deal with that I didn't like too much. But, I understood it. And then we ended up, I did bring her to this church over here where I go now, but it didn't work good anymore. So we started, Patty would take care of her in the morning on Sunday, and I'd go to church, and then I'd come home and she'd go to her church after. And so that worked out pretty good for a while. But it was mixed emotions. I mean, some days were really good. Some days were awesome. Some days were not so good, There was stuff I had to do that I never thought I'd ever have to do in my life. But
Would you mind sharing that, Will? What are some of the things that you didn't expect, I think, when you got married? Because trust me, I got you on that too. There are some things I didn't expect I'd have to do for my husband when he was sick. And I was like, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah. What happened after a while, we had a nice, we have a really nice stand-up shower. It's a big, big shower. And in the beginning, I could take her in the shower with me, and I could help her do her hair for her and wash her back and everything. And then after a while, I'd say maybe a year after, she started to not like to be naked in front of somebody.
Yeah.
And that was hard to get her to come into the shower after a while.
Yeah.
So, of course, some years later go by, and it's getting close to the end, and I had to sponge bath her a lot of times, and that wasn't fun. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes she would have that problem with going to the bathroom and dumping her in her pants that she had to wear, those those pants that you buy, you know, those packages of paper underwear. And that was a mess, you know, to clean that. But you did it, but you were able to do it because of our love.
Yeah. You know, we say the same thing about our mom, and we have a lot of those difficulties with our mom, but it is, you don't really think about it. You look in your past and you're like, well, I did that. I know Natalie's done that. She's crawled in the floor because mom got sick in a bathroom stall, but you just do it because, well, that's our mom. That's your wife. And you don't really, it's not something you ever thought you'd do, Will, but you just do it. I mean, because that's,
well, I didn't think I had a choice, be honest with you. The idea that I could say, well, I'm not going to crawl under there and go help mom never really occurred to me. I'd be like, well, we got to get her out of here.
Well, there was nobody to help me. I mean, you know, Patty and George got jobs. Patty leaves early in the morning, you know, and, we're here all by ourselves. I have to do it. But you know, after you've done it and she's all nice and I clean her like I clean myself. I mean, I'm a clean person. I just can't stand being grubby, you know? And I just I just took care of her. I was glad after it was all done. I cleaned her so well and put clean clothes on her and made her feel I felt like I feel comfortable now that she's clean, you know. That's the way I thought, you know. I wanted her to be comfortable. And I can't stand her being miserable and then as time went by, she would wet her pants at night in bed, and then we had to put that thing over on the mattress so it wouldn't get in the mattress. And then after that, it was she would get up sometimes in the morning earlier than I did, and she would go sit on a couch, and then she started messing up the pillow for the couch. So I could take the covers off and I could wash them. But I would take a towel. I would take bath towels, and I would put them on the couch so she'd sit on that. And she was such a neat, clean woman all her life. She would take the towel every once in a while. She'd sit on it. Then another time, she'd just take the towel and fold it all up and put it away.
Well, it's on the couch. Towels aren't meant to be on the couch. She's probably thinking about it. She's like, this doesn't make any sense.
So I dealt with that for a long time.
Yeah.
And, but you just do it. You can, and I meet a lot of people at my age. I'm meeting a lot of people. I go cruising with my car, and most of the guys are all my age doing this stuff. And we talk about the same thing. And everybody says the same thing. They all say, if I had to do it over again, I would do it over again. You know,
the people that we talk to, they're male caregivers, men. They don't talk a lot. Everybody thinks a caregiver is only a woman. And the men, that's the reason we're doing this series, Will, is because we feel like it's beneficial when men get to talk to men about those issues. Do you feel it is good for you to get out cruise, but help those men out there that need to talk about it?
Yeah. I talk a lot about it. I kind of wait till people open the door, you know, and let me in. I don't want to push people. I don't be nosy and ask them. But it just happens. They're just willing to talk about it, you know. And I have had a lot of experiences with people that died that really tore me up. I had a close friend that I used to go to that other church with that had a Monday night thing, and it was for people that were having problems with drugs and drinking and stuff like that. And I just thought I'd go to it, you know. So Terry and I would go to that class. Sometimes we were the only one, he and his wife and my wife and I, we'd be the only ones. Not very many people wanted to do that, but we got really close, him and I. He had hot rods too and all that. He had a wonderful family, and I met the whole family with good people. And he got sick. He got cancer really bad. And he decided he had cancer so bad that it was in his bones. And he decided at his age, he was older than I was, that's only a couple of years ago, that he was not going to get healed because he couldn't. He figured it was his time, that the Lord wanted to take him home. That was his attitude. So they set him up in a hospice in his house, and they showed this thing on Facebook. They showed the whole thing, and I saw him, and it really tore me up, And then I have another friend that I rode, he and I, in 1966, left Connecticut and went to California on our motorcycles. And he died the year after he died. And then my son's mother, she died too last year. So I went through a lot of it was really hard dealing with that, with all that. Yeah. And that was, you know,
Gabriel.
And then we got Gabriel, then the family. He's, you know, he has a nice young wife with three beautiful kids and live up in Chicago. And then he died. He's only 38 years old. And
yeah,
it just goes on and on and on. And it seems like when you're getting to be up in age, you know, a lot of people your age and they're all going, you know, it's kind of, you know, you expect it. It's scary. It keeps you up at night sometimes, you know, all these things. And if I didn't have that car out in the garage and wasn't doing something, I don't know where I'd be today. I don't think that I could deal with all this. One of the things that I have a hard time with even today is it's a long driveway. And when I get out of the house and start walking up to the street to get the mail or something, I think about Terry. And then on the way back, I'm looking at that big house I live in and I know she's not there. That's hard.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Will. When she started getting ill and you would go to the doctors and things like that together, did they offer any kind of training or these are support groups to help you know what to do? Because I know this is uncharted territory for you. How did you learn about the things that you needed to do? Was there training or anything?
Well, you know, in the beginning, I didn't know what to do. This was all new to me. You know, this whole thing was all new. To have somebody you love so much and then have her get sick, it was all new to me, and I didn't know what to do. And then when I started trying to help, trying to do something, I didn't know what to do, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, towards the end, it was George and Patty. Mostly George did all the work, but we had a hard time to get, we would do the paperwork. I think I had somebody come here to work on Medicaid, and it was always, we had too much money. There was always too much money in the bank. And so because her and I had decent wages and we had decent Social Security, and then being not going anywhere, not doing anything, you don't have no house payments, you don't have no car payments. We did well, but
yeah.
You have to be $2,000 in the bank and no more than that. And, right. And so I did the paperwork one time and they said, we got too much money. So that went on for a couple, 3 years. And then finally it got worse and George started helping. You know, I asked him, I told him, I says, I need your help. You guys are the ones that are really good with the computer. I'm not. This is what it's going to take. You can't just do it over the phone. You know, you gotta be able to do a lot of paperwork, a lot of work on the computer, on the laptop. And I was just starting to learn that. Laptop and cell phone and all that. I still don't know it as good as I should, but he's the one that helped me. And then even when George did it, if we left one little thing out, they would disqualify us. And then we have to start all over and wait those 2-3 months again.
Yeah.
And we just kept doing it. Finally, we got to the point where I got the money down. And what happened is we are showing some paperwork. You had to show both sides of three sheets, three papers. And we only showed the main one, and that wasn't enough. They wanted to see all three, both sides. So we had to do that all over again, and that was a struggle. And finally got the Medicaid, you know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when she finally fell in the house, and George again got online and started finding out that she could qualify for hospice. And that, mm-hmm. and that was when she was in the hospital and in the end. And then, boy, they did a beautiful job of taking care of people. The hospice people are awesome.
I love that. Jay, I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody. We are back. We're talking with Will about their journey with his wife, Teresa. And she did eventually get assistance from hospice. But Will, I have a question. So it sounds like you've got a team of sorts. You've got George, you've got his wife, Patty. But you're doing a lot. Is there a point during this time, because this is a lot about you, we want to hear what's going on with you. Did you just get tired some days where, I know you never gave up, but was there a moment where you were like, Lord, you got to help me?
Yeah, there was, in the end, I finally went to George and Patty a lot of times and I says, I don't know if I can do this anymore. You know, This was really difficult. Yeah. And it wasn't just because of her, it was just everything, you know, that just added up and got it, and it just got worse and worse and worse. But yeah, there were days when we would have, she would argue with you, you know, and she would start doing that too. She would get mad when I'm trying to clean her because she had to be half naked in order to clean her. She would just get fussed up, and then she'd take her to the toilet and she would get upset there when you're standing in front of her and you almost have to, you know, walk out of the bathroom for a moment and give her that. She's such a, she was just a really, you know, decent lady. She's just, that's all there was to it. She just didn't like it to be naked anymore. And it was really hard to take care of her that way, but I would just have to do it, you know? And some days I'd get mad at her too and everything. I never got rough with her. I never got mad at her. You know, I just was disappointed a lot of times. But I, you know, knowing what I've learned in church, don't be angry, because when you're angry at somebody, you're angry at the Lord. So there were days when it was so hard, and I'd sometimes go to Patty and Patty, I don't know if I can handle this anymore. But that was right at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and this has been going on for a good number of years, right? How long was that from the diagnosis to Terry's passing?
You know, probably 5 years, maybe. I was having to do a lot for her, you know. And then one of the other things, too, is getting her to – she always ate well.
Yeah.
She – a lot of the stuff that I fed her, I knew, and people – you know, I saw it online and everything, that foods that are good for you. Mm-hmm. And one of them was walnuts, and she loved walnuts. So when I met her, she was eating walnuts. I always went to the bakery department in the church, and I mean in the store, and bought walnuts. And mm-hmm. she ate walnuts. That was a good. That was supposed to be one of the best nuts to eat. Always had avocado in the house. Mm. I always bought deli meat and cheese from the deli, and the Jewish rye bread, and made her nice sandwiches. And always had a handful of potato chips in the middle of a sandwiches and on a plate. And I always fed her good. She always ate. We always ate good stuff all the time. And she needed. One of the things that the doctors wanted her to eat was probiotics.
Yeah.
Now, I'm kind of going all over the place here because I'm just going by things that are popping up in my brain.
That's for sure.
And that was, she used to have terrible headaches. Yeah. She even walked with a cane and everything. Well, in the last 5-6 years, she didn't have no headaches and she didn't walk with a cane.
Huh.
So
diet is important.
Yeah. So We took good care of her, you know. We just kept her nice and clean. She had nice clothes. She was always well dressed. Patty especially would do a better job than I did. When I came home from church, she'd have mom all looking really good, you know, clean. But she'd tell me all the fun she had though doing all that.
Oh, I bet she did. I bet she did.
But you know, it was so easy to love Terry though. She was just an awesome lady.
You know, no matter, I think, of your health condition, like Natalie said earlier, mom's had Parkinson's for 20 years, dignity and pride and still instilling that in that person, no matter what their memory is or their capacity, it's still important, Will. And it sounds like regardless of where Terry was at the time, you know, if she was angry or fussing with you, there's a lot of that was the disease. That was really an important focus for you. And I love that you guys were always like, she was going to look nice and she was going to be clean. And that's a really honorable thing to make sure that however you presented her was the way she would want to have been presented. Yeah. I think that's really important.
You know, and first, it wasn't really, to me, it wasn't really that hard.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's just, I'm so happy that you people let me talk about the Lord because it's all about Him.
Yeah.
If I didn't know what I've learned in church and out of the Bible and everything, because I used all that to be able to deal with all this. It made it easier. Yeah. I can honestly say it wasn't that hard. I really enjoyed it. I knew that I was doing something good. Making her life, I think maybe her diet helped her to even live longer than she did. Yeah. I mean, the longer she did, you know. And I always thought that I was helping the whole family. It made it easier to have somebody with her instead of have to deal with it yourself, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's just amazing. To me, she's still doing for me. She's still doing stuff for me, you know, because I've changed so much. And a lot of it was to do with after she passed. And I started getting into her personal letters. And she had so many letters and so many. She wrote so much and had so many friends. And she was always happy. And some of the people that she knew, when I ran into them after, they would always say that Terry was a giver, not a taker.
Wow. The thing is, I know that it's time for sister questions, Jay. So I want to start off on a question. So what would be the tips or what would you tell someone? What would you tell someone like, hey, this is what you should know. If I had one thing I could tell you, one piece of advice, what would you tell them?
Now, are you speaking to about if someone coming to me that has the same situation and asking me for help?
Yep.
I think about that too. I think about, you just have to love the person. You do it out of love. And if you're not a godly person, you're not going to be able to do this. You got to have God on your side. You can't do it alone, you know, and you just got to love the person. And so lots of times I tell people, I tell people what I'm going through and they look at me and shake their head and I'd say, You do it out of love.
Mm, wow. I do love that. Well, and I'm going to tell you, Will, I totally agree. I mean, you know, we may have some listeners who may not believe in God. They may say I'm a spiritual person, but I'm going to tell you, for me, the Jason's cancer brought us closer together, closer to God. Mm-hmm. And the only way that we got through it from in my perspective, because I listened to Christian songs in the morning, because I'm going to tell you right now, if I wasn't singing to the Lord, I don't know what would have been coming out of my mouth. So it was hard. Well, you know, and so
I go to a Baptist church and we got Sunday school in the morning and we got Sunday mm-hmm. services twice on Sunday. Then
that's
you
right.
got church on, you got church on Wednesdays.
That's right.
And it's all, every time you're in the church, you're in the Bible. And I learned after being in the Bible for so many years, maybe it started in the 5, 10, 6 years ago, that the Bible covers everything. The Bible has everything in it. You know, I don't care what you talk about. It's all in the Bible.
That's right.
And it'll help you. If you don't have any that kind of education, you're on your own. You can't do it. It says right in the Bible not to rely on your own self, but rely on the Lord.
Yep.
So it made it possible. But I left clothes. I left some of her clothes in the closet, in the walk-in closet. And I got pictures of her all over the house. And some people tell me you got to put all the pictures away. And I go, I'm not going to do it. And I talk to her still today. I talk to her all the time. And I miss her something terrible.
Jay?
So I know you're a man of faith. And so I get some bad moments, Will. And I'm like, I'm going to need a word. And my favorite verse is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens mm-hmm. me. I'm like, okay, I can do it.
Yeah.
You got a favorite verse that you call on in your mind when you got anything, even when you're working on your car, something, your go-to verse.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like I said, in the beginning, I worked hard all my life and I still work on my car because I can't afford to have everything done. And I got $60,000 in this car and it's, and a lot of it was, I had to find parts all over the country and I had to pay for shipping and to do the work. I can do it, you know, because I've been a machinist, a mechanic, a heavy equipment operator. I mean, I've been around that all my life and I can do it, but you got to use what you have, and it makes it harder. It makes it harder to do the job. And a lot of times when you're done, it didn't come out right, and you're disappointed. And that right there, that's all I have on my mind for a moment there, you know. That's what helps. You can't just sit and do nothing and dwell about the woman that you lost. You know, she was 96 years old. She was... had dementia really bad. And, you know, and I don't know how much more time we have, but in the end, it was when she went into the hospital, I was devastated. I mean, I was out in the yard howling like a wolf out there, crying my brains out. And the best thing that happened is when George got on the phone and started talking to hospice, he found out that as soon as she fell down, that now we qualify for hospice. And when we got her home, it was like she was died and came back to life. I wasn't ready to lose her yet. So I was so happy to see her home and sleeping in that bed right next to me in this house. That was a big relief for me. And because we couldn't find a bed anywhere in a home anywhere. And I knew that that was God's doing again. God had it fixed up, so we couldn't find no place. And George says, we're just going to have to take her home. And I said, yeah, that's great. So she was ready to come home on a Thursday at 5 o'clock and 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We had the bed and the oxygen tank and the wheelchair and everything all set up already by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So these people were really awesome. And then the nurses started coming in, and boy, that was a big relief too. But at least for a while, you know. But the biggest thing that happened that I have a hard time talking about the day before she died, she knew me right to the end. She reached up one day when I was talking to her, and she held me by my head with her hands and pulled me down and gave me a big kiss on the lips, and she knew me right to the end. I knew I made her happy. She was always happy with me.
I did a wonderful thing for somebody. And this was something that was going through my head for a long time before I met her, you know. It all happened. It's all because of God. But I know where she is. And I know where I'm going. I know that everything that's happened since I've known her is all about God. There's no doubt about it. He helps me.
Well, I'm going to.
You know, he helps me work on that car without getting hurt and everything like that. And I can hardly do it anymore. I don't have a lift. I have to raise the car up and I have to climb underneath there. And sometimes I have a hard time getting out from under it because my shoulders are killing me and my back hurts. But I have to do it because I can't afford to have somebody else do it. And I'm not going to do all the work and just look at it in the garage and not drive it. I got to work on it so I can make it work.
I love it.
You know?
I love it. You know, Will, I will tell you, I normally end because we're going to end here in just a sec. And I'm sorry, I'm crying because
let me pause for a second. I want to get a napkin.
You know, Natalie, for Will, I think we always wonder what we'll title it, but Will is definitely a good and faithful servant. I mean, yes, his heart is so good. You're just a good and faithful servant. That's what I was telling Natalie, Will. And I thank you for sharing your story. It's beautiful.
Well,
I love it.
You know, she has a son that has a lot of money. He paid for her funeral. He paid for mine too. We already saw the stone at the cemetery, and there's four holes in the half of that stone where my plaque is going to go. This is, you know, I helped the whole family out. And this is something I never dreamed of, you know, I never dreamed I was going to end up like this. I have a brother up in Connecticut. He lives in a HUD situation, and he's just a year younger than I am. He can't, if he didn't have his three children close by that pick him up and bring him to their house on holidays and send him home with leftovers and all that, he can't even drive anymore or anything. And I wouldn't want to live like that. Because if I would have wound up like that here, I had no friends, no family. They were up in Connecticut. They weren't down here. So I would have had a really terrible time. I can imagine coming home sometimes and somebody took my parking spot, you know, at a place where you live and then had that kind of a problem. I couldn't do it. So.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Will, I think everything happens exactly the way it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And so I know that kind of as we're kind of wrapping it up now, I feel like I know your guilty pleasure. I know you love working on those cars and working on your car. I love that. But I think, you know, I think, gosh, what a blessing Will has been to us this morning. Jay.
Yeah,
I love this. And hearing about your love story and that's what it was. It was a love story. It was a God story. He put you exactly where you were supposed to be. And I know that George, who's your son-in-law, this is Teresa's son, loves you. He and Patty love you and the family loves you. And because that's all they kept saying to us is, oh, you've got to meet my father-in-law. And so I think that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And we're so grateful for you coming on today.
And you know, I'd like to say something else. I have their daughter that lives with us. She was adopted years ago. And I had a hard time with her because the way she lives and everything. But I learned to love that girl. You know, I look at it this way. I'm a grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
I'm her grandpa.
That's right.
And I deal with her just like they do. And she's actually improved a lot, too. I really love the girl. Yeah. I really love
you got a bigger family than you ever imagined.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then George's, and then Patty doesn't want me to go around saying, this is my stepdaughter-in-law. She says, just daughter-in-law.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, I love that.
There ain't no step to it, my friend. We're all connected. Yeah. And so we all have these titles that society gives us, but you're just my person. You're a person in my life that I love. Yeah. And sometimes it's just as simple as that.
Yeah.
So, well, Will, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your story about Teresa. This is another way that Teresa lives on.
Yeah.
And we're such a privilege to get to have you on here to talk about your experience being a caregiver and so many nuggets of wisdom. And so we just thank you for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. All right, guys. Until we confess again, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Well, friends, that's a wrap on this week's confession. Thank you so much for listening in on UK Health Radio. But before you go, please take a moment to leave us a review and tell your friends about the Confession Show. Don't forget, visit our website to sign up for our newsletter, sign up for the Sisterhood Advantage Club, and of course, connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, TikTok, and Twitter. You'll also find the video recording of all our episodes on the Confessions website and our YouTube channel. We'll see you next Tuesday when we come together to confess again. Till then, take care of you.